Welcome to A Healthier You Little by Little. This podcast gives you insights and features various aspects of health, from sleep and stress to immunity, exercise, home workouts, energy, and performance. Here is your host of A Healthier You Little by Little, Cindy Little.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Today's guest is Sarah Fleming, and today's title is Fitness Without Fear. Sarah is the author of an upcoming book called Fitness Without Fear, and she is a strength coach, a trainer educator, a writer, a mom to three awesome kids, a pie enthusiast, and creating monsters since 2009. Yay. So we could have called this Monster Inc.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show today, Sarah.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, I know that I'd like to talk a little bit about Fitness Without Fear. And first, maybe you could give us some insight to how you became a trainer. I know you started off in medical research, but how did that evolve into you becoming a trainer?
I think it was more a philosophical kind of journey at first. As a kid, I really wasn't that athletic. I was very uncoordinated. And it was frustrating for me because I really wanted to be an athlete, but everything I tried, I just wasn't terribly good at. And so by the time I got into college, I did fitness on my own, which was just basically running and lifting weights. I think back then was the early 90s, and we really hadn't put, I don't think we'd really put together the ideas of fitness and athleticism. Fitness to the general population was sort of bodybuilding and weight loss, whereas, you know, athletes were out there doing their athletic thing. But when after college and I started doing research at Georgetown University, I would come across articles on, you know, muscle strength and muscle development. I was working in the pathology department at Georgetown, so I'd actually see a lot of tissue samples. And I just got really curious about, you know, how does the body adapt to exercise? And sort of through my own experimentation, I realized that strength training gives you a lot of abilities. It makes you more coordinated. It makes you have more endurance. It gives you more stamina. And I don't think I'd really ever realized how valuable strength training was in developing athleticism. And so over the course of the next 10 years, I sort of kept pushing the envelope with myself. And after the birth of my third child, having had to teach myself how to come back from, you know, childbirth and pregnancy, and I had actually developed a pretty awful diastasis, which is separation of the abdominal muscles, I decided to just study, like, how do you optimally train your body? And everything I kept coming back with was, why don't you study to be a trainer? And I guess I hadn't put myself in that headspace yet, because to me, I was this uncoordinated, out of shape person, and what business did I have doing this? But then I realized, you know what, over the course of the past decade, I've actually greatly increased my abilities. I'd greatly increased my fitness level. I was finally becoming what I would call athletic. And there were a lot of people at my gym who were routinely asking me to work out with them because they wanted me to teach them the things that I was learning. And so, to make a long story short, what I realized in that time was that training is actually teaching. And if you can teach, you can learn. And there's a whole lot of things you can teach your body to do over time that are going to make you more able, more athletic, and just, you know, give you the ability to do a whole lot of things that you never thought possible.
Excellent. The reason why I have you as a guest today is, like, of course, our title is A Healthier You Little by Little. And you have that philosophy as well, like a little bit or small amounts of things can really make a difference. And I know we talked about posture in our conversations and how important that is. Can you explain to the audience, like, maybe a little bit more about how you use posture?
Absolutely. It's one of the very first things I look at when someone walks into my gym. Proper alignment of your body helps your body function better. It's just all about being efficient. But the more important thing about posture is, in order to have good posture, you are activating your postural muscles, all the muscles that go up and down your spine, your core, your shoulders, your legs. It's impossible to have good posture unless you are reasonably strong. Muscle activation has been shown to be the biggest contributor to, you know, positive health markers. For example, cardiovascular markers that, you know, show risk of disease or not disease, those tend to, get better when you have more muscle activation. So does insulin resistance. That tends to go down when you have more muscle activation. Sarcopenia, which is the age-related loss of muscle as we age. And, you know, a lot of people may find that hard to wrap their heads around, but there's actually two real-life examples we can point to as to what happens when we don't use good posture and don't activate our muscles against gravity, the first of which is bed rest. So you take any person has a medical issue, you put them in bed and don't let them move for, you know, 6 to 12 weeks, they're going to have bad markers for cardiovascular disease. They're going to develop insulin resistance. They're going to have all of these health problems that we typically associate with not only a sedentary lifestyle, but obesity. But the truth is, it's actually that lack of muscle activation, which also contributes to that. And then the other big example, which I think a lot of people may be aware of, is astronauts in outer space. You know, they not only get all these bad health markers, but they actually lose bone density. And the cure for both of those conditions is just exercise and simple things like just walking on a treadmill. They get, you know, bed rest patients up out of bed and get them on a treadmill or a vibration plate. Get them activating those muscles and those health markers improve dramatically.
Excellent. So what you're saying is get off your ass, people.
Right? Pretty much. And, you know, I think the problem a lot of folks see is, you know, they may be sedentary for any other number of reasons, like they just got deconditioned and don't know how to get back into good shape, or they're recovering from an illness or recovering from childbirth. And I think a lot of folks think that the solution to that is to get up off the couch, drive to the gym, and join some hardcore fitness class.
Right.
And I would say that's not really what you want to do. What you need to, first of all, give your body time to adapt to moving, to adapt to maintaining good posture throughout your day, and adapt to sort of the mental challenges that come with, you know, hard exercise. I've had so many people tell me that they've done that, gone from the couch to the gym, and they might last a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, and then it just becomes unpleasant. And in some ways, they start to develop a lot of anxiety. Sometimes they develop overuse injuries, because as we know, like, it takes your body a while to adapt to that kind of stress. Like, your tendons and your ligaments, those connective tissues take like much longer than your muscles and everything else to adapt. So what I always tell folks to do is, you know what, the first thing you need to do is just get up more regularly. If you find that you're sitting all day, you know, get up every half hour or hour and just walk around your house. You know, start getting in the habit of going for a daily walk. Start getting in the habit of, you know, getting up out of your chair, walking, you know, down the stairs of your office building and back up. Just real simple things that are going to remind you to activate your muscles, maintain that good posture, and just, you know, get your blood flowing. Those are the things that are going to get you feeling good enough to then take the next step, which might be, you know, walking more with your family, going in and joining a low impact exercise class at the gym, maybe going swimming, you know, joining in a water aerobics class, something like that. But I think when we bite off more than we can chew, we tend to defeat ourselves before we've even started.
Excellent. You know, those are great points, Sarah. I love the fact that you know, you're reminding us of simple things that maybe we take for granted that we don't even think about. But, you know, like, I know I wear an Apple Watch and it tells me when to stand every hour, which is kind of cool. And I mean, there's people out there that use devices like the Fitbit, and I'm sure there's a ton of them out there that help track your steps in a day and track your movement. And any kind of movement is good. Like, even if you're folding laundry or washing your floors or sweeping your floors.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I know I've been bedridden for a couple of weeks. Not bedridden, but I had an inner ear surgery where my balance was completely off, and I actually had to be in bed, and because like my balance was too off that I couldn't be walking around. So the first 3-4 days, like, I was bedridden, and that it's a horrible feeling, you know, to actually be sedentary and be bedridden. And then when I was actually feeling good and my balance came back, I was like just small things even mattered, like, you know, being able to mop my own floors and doing those things. So I totally get what you mean. Like, starting small and working your way up is really key. Now, I know, Sarah, you are a strength athlete as well. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Because, I mean, you started off with maybe a fear of the gym or a fear of working out, and now you're this strong woman. And how did you get into the strength training aspect or the powerlifting?
Well, once I realized that, you know, strength was going to get me what I wanted, I basically went and found a couple of coaches who could teach me how to, you know, do the powerlifting, you know, squat, bench press, deadlift. And then I actually became a USA weightlifting coach and had a bunch of young teenagers I was working with. So the USA weightlifting trains the snatch and the clean and jerk. Those are the weightlifting movements what they do at the Olympics. Now, I grew up training horses, and when you train horses, you get thrown off a lot. So I'm kind of used to getting beat up in the course of training. But, you know, the things that I ran into, which this was sort of another philosophical shift for me, was I started having knee pain when I would squat before I even really got up to much over my own body weight. And I couldn't understand why, because I was following the textbook form. And then, you know, it was funny. I was complaining to a friend of mine, and he was like, well, maybe the textbook form isn't your form. And I was like, whoa, what did you just say? And what he was telling me was, you know, I have very long femurs, so I need to get my hips back further when I squat than the average person, or my knees get too far forward. I also have to push my knees out to the side differently than the average person. And what I would actually say is there is no ideal form. There is a model movement that you can base something off of. But once you establish that model movement with an individual, you then have to figure out what is the ideal way for them with their particular levers, their biomechanics. And once I kind of realized that, things got much easier for me. And at first I was training, you know, I would do competitions with my athletes. So I'd do weightlifting competitions, and then eventually I would do some powerlifting competitions. But I was born with hip dysplasia, so my hips would always bother me once I got up to like more than a double bodyweight squat. And in powerlifting, you always are going heavier, right? And I was getting frustrated. So another friend introduced me to the Scottish Highland Games, which, if you've ever seen guys in kilts throwing trees, that's basically what it is. It's yeah, there's 9 different events. There's height throwing events. There's distance throwing events. The weights are pretty heavy. Like, we throw a 28-pound weight for distance, and you spin with it like a discus. And you know, that'll knock you off your feet if you don't have, you know, good technique. And that's, so I realized at my size, I started when I was about 140 pounds, and I'm 5'7", so kind of twiggy. And so I realized that in order for me to do this well, I had to get my technique down perfect. And again, not everyone's perfect technique, but my perfect technique. I needed to learn how to use my center of gravity as I move to, you know, be more efficient. And, you know, I actually got up to a pretty high level. I just competed at the lightweight North American Championships a year ago in February, right before COVID started.
Wow, congratulations. That's awesome.
And, you know, it was always a lot of fun for me because the weights never got necessarily heavier. I just got better at throwing them. And so going forward with that, I would say that, like, most of the people that come to me and want to do something extraordinary, I'm always like, of course we can. We have to be patient, because we're going to have to build the strength that you need. We're also going to have to build the skills that you need and figure out how we're going to build that skill that's going to fit you the best. But I really am of the opinion that we can get most people performing way beyond their expectations if we just take a personalized approach. But to lead back to beginners and little steps, sometimes those skills that we have to establish are simply that good posture, the ability to go out and walk 3 miles. That's scary for some people. But as long as we're willing to be patient and lay that foundation, I had a gal come to me that was about there. She had been sedentary, was very scared to do anything. Within 2 years, I had her deadlifting 300 pounds.
What?
Safely.
Awesome.
But she, you know, but we built that slowly. We started with posture, started with basic fitness, and we got her there. And again, safely, but it took 2 years. And I think a lot of people just aren't willing to be patient enough to wait for those kind of results.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, if you were to give some advice to the beginner person or or maybe even the seasoned athlete who's been out of their athleticism for a while, what advice would you give to them?
I would say, you know, the thing that we need to do is value the things that we evolved to do well as human beings. And what we evolved to do is travel long distances, be out in nature around our surroundings, and really value what that does for our health, both mental and physical. And when we understand how very good that is just for our ability to function in the world and have a good life. And when you put things in that terms and take away the, well, I used to be able to do this and I used to be able to do that. No, what we want to do is we want to live a good, healthy life where we can, you know, hang out with our friends, take our kids for hikes, go surfing with our grandkids. You know, all those wonderful things can be accomplished with just the very basics. And so I think it's important that we just value the things that make us who we are as humans and not necessarily feel like we have to constantly be competing with everyone else.
That is amazing. I love that tip. Value your what you have and what you can do and just do what you can do. I love that. Well, any other things that we want to touch on? What about your book? You want to tell us a little bit about your book, Sarah, before we hop off?
Sure. My book, it's interesting because I felt like I was writing to a particular group of clients. I had a client come to me. Well, I had a fellow come to me a couple years ago. His family was here temporarily because his wife's mother and sister had unfortunately just passed away. So they were trying to get their affairs in order. And he saw that I had a gym in my basement and he wasn't really interested in getting coaching. He just wanted a place to train. And I was like, sure, why not? And I asked him to come over so I could just watch him, make sure he knew what he was doing. And in the course of talking to him, he said, you know, I'd really like you to talk to my wife. He's like, you know, she's had a lot of issues with health problems and self-confidence. And, you know, she's tried to go to gyms and just had terrible experiences. And so this woman came to my gym. She was terrified. I mean, just absolutely terrified. And I was like, I'm not going to hurt you. I promise. I'm not going to hurt you. And I kept thinking to myself, like, it's terrible that I have to say this to a client. Like, I'm not going to hurt you because that's what she's used to.
Wow.
So in writing this book, that was sort of the overarching theme. Like, I don't want you to be afraid. Like, I'm not going to ask you to do anything you can't do right now. And I talk about, like, what fitness really is, why no pain, no gain isn't really a good fitness philosophy. In fact, if you look at, like, what the top Olympic coaches are doing, that's a very, very small part of the training that they do with their athletes. And then I have a whole section on self-assessment, because I think, you know, one of the things we fail to do as people is pay attention to where we are. And so I think it's really important before we, like I said, join those high intensity programs and whatnot, we really need to sit down and say, well, you know what, how much sleep am I getting? What's my diet really like? How much do I move throughout the day? Do I actually get up out of my chair at all? Do I go for walks? Can I get in and out of my chair easily? Those are things we need to fix first. And a lot of people don't think of that as training or fitness, but it is. It's just practice.
It totally is. Like, lifestyle, everything you do in your lifestyle is going to lead to either a better lifestyle or a worse lifestyle, right?
Exactly. And I think, you know, when you learn to do those things and, you know, you have to learn to go for a daily walk. You have to learn how to get in and out of your chair easily. And when I introduce strength training, I'm like, think about this in terms of your daily tasks. When you're standing upright and pulling your belly button into your spine and holding your shoulders back, like, that's a strength movement. That's just, you know, you're holding strength. So if you constantly think about how can I live a more active life rather than a passive life, even if that simply means active posture and regular movement, that's going to get you a lot further than anything else. Now, the funny thing is, my cousin read this and he's like a weekend warrior. He plays Ultimate Frisbee. He's been running with his daughter and he read it and he was like, I felt like you wrote this for me. And so I was very pleased to hear that because I wanted to reach, like I said, the very beginners, but I think it probably speaks to most people who've been doing the exercise thing for a while and what should I keep doing here? What's important? Or if they have been off the wagon for a while and want to get back on, or maybe they've just been going hard for a really long time and want to back off. I think it just provides a good sort of scientific foundation for what we actually need, how you can incorporate that in your life, and easy ways to make those changes.
Excellent. Well, I know that in the show notes, we will put your spelling of your name, and it's Sarah Fleming with one R and one M in Fleming. And her note, her book is called Fitness Without Fear. And we'll also put that in. And you say it releases in May of 2021, correct?
Yep, it should be on Amazon. And if you jump on there the first month, I think my publisher might be making it available for 99 cents. Number boosting, I suppose, but
wow, cool. So is that like an e-copy or is that an actual book?
That will be the e-book. The paperback will be available, I think, for $19.99. But it's a pretty comprehensive book. Lots of photos, lots of talk about, you know, good form and what kind of equipment to use, and of course, just outside of the gym, what are just the basic lifestyle changes you can make that'll put fitness in your life without a whole lot of trouble.
Well, there we go. We have A Healthier You, Little by Little by Sarah Fleming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming out and giving us some tidbits. And I look forward to learning more about you. And you also have a blog too, right?
Yeah, it's called, the title's www.havefun-getstrong.com. And I came up with that name many years ago. I was a CrossFit coach and I thought to myself, you know, the main goal everyone has in coming here is because they want to have fun while getting strong. So that's where I came up with that.
Excellent. Well, that's something else you guys can check out, and I'll put that in the show notes for everybody as well. Again, thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing your book, sharing your wisdom, and, you know, just giving some simple tips for people to get started.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to A Healthier You, Little by Little. Do you have a question about something you heard today? An idea for a topic, perhaps? Or would you like to reach out to Cindy? Send her an email, coachcindylittle@gmail.com, or visit her website at health2wealth.ca. That's health2wealth.ca. Or you can find Cindy on LinkedIn or Facebook as Cindy Little. Once again, thanks for listening.